Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, come in. Lie down. Relax. Take a deep breath in. And now breathe out. We'll be your therapist today. You're listening to Triathlon Therapy.
That's too much time. Look at Steve McKenna. Steve, what are you doing, Steve? That's too much time. Advantage Reed.
Welcome back, everyone. We have one of the OG hosts, Steve McKenna, joining us. A rare privilege for him to be able to make time for his own podcast. Steve, welcome. Later on in the show, we've got Kane Eckstein coming on board. For those that don't know, an incredible Ironman Surf Life champion, and also has a whole heap of other crazy records with chin-ups and just a hardcore athlete across the board, and a really fascinating guy that I've had the privilege of doing a 100K sort of run with and getting to know him a bit. So I was really stoked to have him on board. But firstly, Stephen, what's going on? Where are you at? It sounds like the wheels have truly fallen off with the marathon running due to unfortunate sickness.
Yeah. where I'm at is better in terms of time, which is great. Yep. Like if I'm honest, the training block I did for Ballarat wasn't half-assed at all, but I was just so busy. So it was like a classic marathon prep for any, you know, amateur who just has two young kids and a full-time job. So, and that's the point, was to get no belts, as I said on the last episode, running itself. And it's obviously not yet, but yeah, it's getting closer. So, and I was doing renovations at the same time. And we moved in. So the renos are done enough now that I've moved in to the house from the rumpus room. Great. The whole family was sleeping in the rumpus.
Yeah, I can see, mate.
We can. And you're already live, Kane.
Oh, okay.
That's how we roll. Let me just test your audio. Steve, have you got a microphone, Steve?
No, I don't.
That's right. Just speak louder.
Wait, Kane, I'll close these doors. Wait.
This is what the people come for. No, thanks, Kane. So we just as a bit of a rundown on the show, because I know you would never have listened to it before. We're not known for being terribly professional or having high production quality, but whenever I talk to people at races, they're like, "Nah, keep it as is. We like the laid back style, and that suits Steve and I fine."
Beautiful.
Kane, thanks for coming on. Quick intro for those that don't know you. Obviously, a amazing array of achievements as an athlete. You know, 5-time Coolangatta gold winner. Is it 5 or is it 6? 5.
Nah, 5, yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously you're an amazing shorter distance surf life. What do they call it? Ironman Surf Life racer as well. A bundle of chin-up records. And just to run through this for people that don't know, because I still can't, every time I read it, I can't get my head around it. In fact, I even, as I come down my stairs, there's a little thing I can grab on. And just before we got on, I thought, I'm just going to give it a crack, see how many I can do. Yeah. I did 3 chin-ups, and I was like, oh.
Well, to start with, the pull-ups, everyone calls them chin-ups. Pull-up, pull-ups. That one's pull-up. That one's chin-up. So pull-up.
Yeah. Are you able to, do you have audio that you, are you able to turn up your audio volume at all?
Oh, fuck. How do I do that? I'm not the best computer guy. Hey.
That's all right. If you just and talk louder or come a bit closer to the screen, that'll be fine.
Okay. And I, I've got that computer that had like the touch bar on the front, like the new one or whatever, and it's like smashed. And now that doesn't work. And so I have to go like into it.
Yeah. So no, I can hear pretty good now. That's good. Back to the intro, mate. So like 2014, the world record, you did a lazy 4,210 and then regained that in two. It got taken by someone else. Was that Goggins that time? No. No.
Story with it. So yeah, when I did that, I was still involved, like I was still racing, like clubby stuff, but I just knew, like, my mate Joe, who was a sports writer in New York, his best mate was Jim, who was second highest of NBC, and then and I was just good at pull-ups in the gym, and I was just talking to Joe and I was saying, oh yeah, I'm good at pull-ups, and there's these records, and he was like, I'll talk to Jim and see if he can do it on the Today Show. And then he messaged me, he was like, yeah, Jim said you can do it on the Today Show over in New York if you want to. But I was still like racing, surf, life saving. Like I wasn't even doing, like I was doing like a couple hundred pull-ups a day. And then, yeah, just went over there and just sort of jumped into doing the record. But David Goggins had the record when I broke it then. And that's why everyone sort of, Americans probably don't like me saying it, but I don't really care. Because when I was over there, the first thing they said to me, I was putting the bar up the day before and like just making sure it was all good, like the afternoon before I was starting the next morning. And they were like, and David Goggins like was popular, but he wasn't as popular like then. Like not everyone knew who he was. Like yeah. I didn't really know who he was. And they were like, oh, just make sure if you don't do the record, like if you pull out or whatever, just make sure you come on the next morning because we've got like a 15-minute segment for you the next morning. And they were like, oh, because last year we had a guy come on, he heard his like 4 or 5 hours in and didn't answer his phone and didn't come in the next day. And then so they were just left. And then it was David Goggins. He did that. And then like I found out, yeah, so I always tell that story. I'm like, oh, he's always on like man up and own your own thing, but he didn't own that, David Goggins.
that was one of my questions that I had further along. I'm going to go back to your intro soon, but have you met him and is he a wanker?
Nah, I haven't met him, but he's not like, he's just not that good at like, he's not like you, like you're like, I'm a racer and you're a racer. Like we're racers. He's not a racer. He's just like a professional exerciser kind of thing. Like, yeah, like, yeah. Really is. Like he runs like 20K a day or whatever. Like he's not that good at like, and when he did that record, because any other story behind it was I went to New York and I didn't realize you had to have you had to supply two judges, like just to mark your like score or whatever every 2 hours and they couldn't repeat. So for 24 hours, you've got two different adjudicators every 2 hours and they couldn't repeat. I didn't know this. And the Today Show were just going to like give me two workers for the 24 hours. And then, yeah, you know, like two for the first 12 hours, two for the second 12 hours. And they're like, nah, the Guinness said this. They had to be two judges and they had to be a professional in sport, like so PTs or something. And then so I got to New York and for the first few days, I fully thought I wasn't going to do it. I was like, how am I finding 24 people to like donate their time to come into Manhattan to like do the thing? And then, yeah, Joe ended up finding, so the guy who, the sports writer Joe, who I was staying with, I was just out, me and my mate Taddy were out in Manhattan walking around. I thought I wasn't going to do it. Like, this is like 2 days before. I was like, there's no way I'm going to do it. And then Joe was on the phone all day and he got me 12 hours of people. So he like, because people will sort of donate their time for the day, but it's pretty hard to get people to go into Manhattan at midnight, you know?
Yeah.
So he got me 12. So I had to break the record in 12 hours. Like I only had 12 hours of people.
Oh, so that's, you did the 24-hour record in 12.
Yeah, so I broke David Goggins' 24-hour record in 12 hours, but I only had 12 hours because that's the only amount of people I had.
Okay, because I was so confused that your record in 2016 was like, you know, nearly double. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, but I did more training for that one. Like I really didn't do any real training for the New York one. I was just doing like Ironman stuff. But going back to the Goggins thing, like he did, I think it was like 4,030 in 24 hours, which like isn't that much really. And then like I sort of like looked it up, you know, his best marathon time's like 2:58 or something. I think he tried to do Kona as well. And like he's all good, like everyone loves him, which is sweet, but he's not a racer. Like he's not he's not an elite racer. Like
well, Reedy's a racer and he can only do 3 chin-ups. So
But it's just a muscle memory thing. Like if you stop doing it, you lose it real quick. Just like anything really. But you get it pretty quick as well, yeah.
We'll go a bit more into the process and the further records that you did with that. I think just as a bit of a background on your personality, Steve, quick story. Kane and I did the Ox, which is a run around Lennox where you do sort of 4K every hour, 4.2 to do 100K in 24 hours. And I didn't really know Kane, but I said to him a bit tongue in cheek, and Kane was pretty crook, hey? So he had he was very sniffly, sore throat, not going that good. But I said to him just as a joke, hey, how about on the last one, we just swim 4K, because the last one finished at a different point. I said, let's just swim the last 4K to mix it up and make it 100K with the last bit four of swimming. And he looked at me dead serious and he's thinking about it. And he's like, oh, it might be pretty hard, but yeah, maybe like...
I was like the shark factor.
I was like, no, I'm kidding.
That's what came to mind. I was like, I wouldn't do it.
But I was a good insight into just like his attitude of, yeah, that might work. We could give it a crack. Steve, first question, mate.
Yeah, Kane, I'm known for stupid questions, but mine's more, mine's actually around something that keeps happening to me. And I want to ask more personal questions about your racing and everything and your business I've learned about as well. But to start with, I get lots of people come up at a party or, wherever you meet someone and like, oh, you do Ironman for a job. And then they get into like, so is that, yeah, you're 3 sports. I'm like, yep. And they go, yeah, you got the boarding, the swimming and the, and the, what's the paddling? And I'm like,
surf ski, yeah.
And I'm like, No. Mine's swim, bike, run. And they just got this massive look of disappointment. And I'm like, mine's swim. And I don't know. I just feel like yours is probably the cooler Ironman.
Oh, I don't know. You probably get 50-50 then, because I used to get that all the time. Like, I would just preempt knowing what they were going to say. And I'd end up just saying, now I even say surf Ironman. I just always say surf Ironman. And they're like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, oh, it's like, and you say, oh, like the one with the bike, and I'm like, yeah, it's like that. We were still in the ocean, similar to that one, but we just do it at the beach.
It's a bit like that, except I'm not a loser.
I think ours would be cool if it wasn't for the bike. People have this random people who aren't into endurance sports have something against cycling for sure. So I always have to just say, I do most of my cycling on the trainer anyway. I'm not on the roads. Like you'll never see me.
Yeah.
I'm always on the road.
I don't know. I reckon if they watch, they need to, because I watch heaps of YouTube and stuff, and I love watching the cycling, like the Giro stuff and the Tour de France, behind the scenes stuff. They need to make like a Netflix. Oh, they do. They made that Netflix one, but they need to get that. Yeah, people like would love that sort of stuff. I don't know. Cycling's a pretty cool sport. I love cycling.
Oh, they need to, make it more accepted and go like, hey, these guys aren't producing fumes to get to work, and they're also fit and healthy and not clogging up hospitals. Like, but cycling's awesome and a good challenge. But yeah, and it's the perceived like, as bad.
Like they're cycling like the best spots in the world, like so picturesque, like it looks nice, but they're pretty gnarly too, like the downhills and stuff that they do, like it's pretty crazy, like some of the skills they got. And then like you watch, I love those memes or whatever they say, like cyclists, so like I don't know, they're tough
best cycle players.
Whatever they got, like their arm like falling off their skin and stuff, and they're sort of like whacking out 40K an hour down the road, and they look like they're just like got run over by a car.
Mate, I reckon it's one of the, like, it comes across as this glamorous sport, but it would be a hard living, man. Like the amount they race, like we only see the Tour de France and the Giro or whatever, but most of them are doing like, racing every second weekend. Often you're just working for someone else, suffering like a dog, rain, hail, shine. And you basically, especially if you're not a leader, you're just getting told what to do and you lose a lot of the glory. I think it's one of the most hardcore professional sports.
remember, I think it was like George Hincappy like said about it or something. And like, because you see it, they got all the nice socks and like the tan skin and everything's perfect when you watch it on like TV. But it like, he was like saying, yeah, most of the times when we're training, like we've got snot going around our like my face and like we're in the like wind and cold. Mm. Yeah. Like stinks. And yeah, it's like definitely.
Away from family all the time as well.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be like a, getting through the ranks of cycling would be tough. Like they'd be staying in pretty bad spots, like, you know, cheap hotels and stuff. Until you get to that high level, it would be a grind. Like it would
be glamorous, massive for sure. Grind. Yeah, 100%. We'll quickly just plug our sponsors before we get into more in-depth questions. I'm just saying that you sponsored us here, Kane. Dr. Hydrate.
Yeah.
I'll, it's only $10,000 per episode, so we'll sort it out later. I've obviously RPG Coaching. Hit me up if you want to check out the membership. It's free access for a month trial. Stephen, what's happening with Nerd Belt?
We're bringing heaps of belts out soon, like marathon belt, reverse belt that like Lionel uses, you know, that type of one.
Yep.
And heaps of them are actually available on rpg.com as well, your store.
rpgcoaching.com, yep.
Sorry, rpgcoaching.com to repeat that. And yeah, then obviously available with us. And yeah, heaps of new stuff coming out, so we're going broke. But I'm excited about the new belts and, yeah, heaps of improvement.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Difference too, so that's about it. I'm interested in Kane's business.
Yeah, well, we might get to that towards the end, Kane, because I think for both of us, like starting a business after racing, it's just interesting. We want to just hear about the journey for you with that. But going back to your childhood, obviously you had, was it just one brother that you had?
Yeah, just Shannon, yep.
And I'm assuming you guys were involved in like surf life stuff from a super young age. And obviously Shannon was a real gun, particularly over the shorter distance events, and you were better over the longer distance. But how much did that like brotherly, was there a rivalry? Did it help you guys develop? Was there a reason you can see beyond, was it genetic or do you think it was more personality type that you ended up always excelling the longer it went?
I think for sure it was like a genetic, I don't know. That's what I was talking to someone the other day about it, because he was just such, and you just look at his build. Like I've put on a little bit of weight now that I'm doing this Hyrox thing, but like I'm bigger than what I was when I was racing, but he was always like just real big legs, like a big ass on him kind of thing. Whereas I was just like always so skinny in my legs, like no ass, and he was like so good short, like 12-minute races, 15-minute races, and it really 2 hours was kind of his max. Like he just like, even in the golds and stuff, he'd always just fade like 2 hours. He'd go from going really, really well just to bang, he's gone. So it must be a genetic thing. But whereas we're brothers, like, you know, it's weird that we're brothers, we're so close, but yeah, I was just so different. But then just because obviously we're racing so much in the short stuff, we're only really race, like the year I won the series, we did like longer sort of races, like hour and a half to 2 hours, and that was you know really good for me. But usually series races are 12-15 minutes, and you just do it so many of them a season, so I had to get better at it, which is good. But yeah, because Shannon's 3 years older than me, so obviously having a brother 3 years older than you, it's really good for the younger brother, because you always just got someone to chase. And I got really, really good at chasing him, but he wasn't, yeah, it's funny, like we're super like I was competitive I enjoyed the challenge of it, but he was like dirty competitive. He hated when I, because I won the Coolangatta Gold when I was 19, so he was 22. But he was like full favorite. Like obviously he's like 22-year-old Shannon, like series champion and stuff, calling out a goal. That was first year at comeback since like 1985. And I won it when I was 19. So like he didn't talk to me for like a year after that. Like literally like we were living together at home and yeah, he was.
Did you feel like you got screwed over, Kane, with the fact that it's 15-minute races? Like that's super short compared to 2 hours, which if you were, you know, like back in the day when they were longer.
Yeah, like Uncle Toby's days back then, Nutrigrain was all, because back in the day, like when there was heaps of money in it then too. There was Uncle Toby's, there was Nutrigrain. They were like two rivals kind of thing. But I don't know, everyone kind of loved the Uncle Toby's because they just had that hour and a half races. They were racing Portsea, they were racing Piha, like it was like big surf, but they were like long. And that's, they were always like long races. That's what I grew up watching. And then Nutrigrain kind of took Uncle Toby's and Uncle Toby's faded away and Nutrigrain was the only thing. And then it was just like short, sort of like carnival style races. And then that's all it was. And like the 1 year, it was like probably the best year of the series because Red Bull come on, sponsored it, Renault sponsored it. And then the V8 supercar guys sort of like got the series and they ran it. And that was all hour and a half to 2 hour races, like six races over the series. And I won three of those races and got second, third and the other two. And then won the series overall. So like, if it was year after year after year like that, I would have obviously had a heaps better Ironman career for sure. But yeah, it kind of sucks because that's what I love watching. Like, I think that's, I don't know, but people, they say like that, but then you're like, it was just, that's why I used to hate the officials and stuff because they used to say they love people unexpected winning and they love, you know, like the best guy not winning and, you know, the guys like are changing up and stuff. But it, whereas it like, and if it was an hour and a half race, you know, you pretty much got like the top three guys winning. Like if it was an hour and a half, 2 hour races, really like me and Ali probably would have been winning and getting second every race nearly, like if it was like fair. Whereas like if it's like 12, 15 minute races, you could have six races, six different winners. So like,
There's so much luck involved too, right? When you get down to 15 minutes, like it's just a lucky wave at the right time. And is that what really makes the difference with when you've got triple that time, you can make up for it through being better.
Yeah. It's pretty much, and it's just so sprinty because you rarely will get someone out in front by himself. Like it'll just be like, you know, four guys sprinting up the beach for first four places kind of thing. So you just got to be like a really fast guy. So it makes it more exciting, but for me, I'd like watch it. Like, I love endurance sports. That's why I love cycling, Ironman, triathlon, all that sort of stuff. Like, that's what I like. I don't really like sprinty stuff, but I had to get good at it because we just raced it so much. Yeah. But that's why I love the gold so much. That's probably why I went so well in the gold, because every year there was that one race that I knew was, like, tailor-made for me pretty much.
Yeah. And speaking of the gold, can you break down for listeners just what it involves and then what you see is, I guess, the physiological traits that are needed to do well there, and to make it a really long question, maybe what your training week would look like when you're in peak training for that?
Yeah. Well, I'll say with the gold, well, like, because the gold's changed since now it's a different race from like Coolangatta, but what it was when I did it, it was Surface Paradise on the ski, like ski, swim, run, board, run. So the first ski leg was 23 kilometers from Surface Paradise to Coolangatta. Then you did like a little 600 meter run, and then just to like from Greenmount to Coolangatta, and then the swim was Coolangatta to Belinga, which is 4 kilometers, and then a 4 kilometer run from Belinga to Currumbin, and then a 6 kilometer board from Currumbin to Burley, and then a 10 kilometer run from Burley to Surface. So like that last run from Burley to Surface is like, you know, the best part of the Gold Coast pretty much. Like the most popular part of the Gold Coast. So, you know, you got 10 kilometers of like, you know, the most popular part of the Gold Coast. It was like a super cool event. Whereas now they sort of just do it from Coolangatta start and finish. But yeah, so, and obviously I was one of the smaller guys. So you kind of do have to be a smaller person, obviously, like to like just, I don't know, just be more power to weight. But you just got to be like really, really overall good. You know, there's a good 23 kilometers in ski, so you can get dropped in the ski. If you get dropped in the ski, you can come up fight. The same as, you know, in a bike of an Ironman, if you're 5 minutes behind, it's pretty hard to sort of come back, and you can easily get that. So you just got to be good at all legs. But then I think my key was I could run, whereas most of the guys couldn't really run that well, and especially like a tired run, that last 10 kilometers after And I suppose, like, one of the hardest things when you think about it, like, you're going 23 kilometers all on your arms and then jumping off and then doing a 4 kilometer swim all on your arms, kind of, as well. And then you do a 4 kilometer run. So, like, I remember that run, you're just going straight to you just use your arms for 2.5 hours, basically. And then you're doing 16 minutes or 12, 13 minutes on your legs, but then you just jump back on the board and you're doing 6 kilometers on the board. So you just had the weirdest feeling of using your arms so hard for 2.5 hours to not using your arms at all to then bang on your arms again. Yeah. So I was like, it was a hard race, but you just had to sort of manage it. And I think I was just good at, I just do it every weekend. Like every weekend I used to have it set out, and I didn't train with, like, everyone on the Gold Coast pretty much trains in a surf club. And I never trained in a surf club. Like, I just trained by myself. So I suppose that ended up being a strength for me, because in the Coolangatta Gold, like, hopefully I was by myself. Like, most of the times after the swim, I was always sort of by myself. But so I just knew I could do it. But then saying that, you train by yourself for the whole winter and then you start the race, you got to be pretty confident that you beat the guys, because you haven't trained with anyone. Like, I never used to train with anyone outside of swimming in the pool until I raced. And then you just hopefully just think, you know, everything you've done was good enough, kind of thing.
And was it, like, is it, are guys making money out of the prize money, or is the real money in sponsorship, a bit like triathlon? Depends on the year with triathlon, but where would you make your living from?
Yeah, it's pretty much split evenly over everything, kind of thing. It's like the, like, prize money, like the Coolangatta Gold was always, you know, 25 grand or something. And then, like, usually, like, with me, everyone used to say, find it funny, like, all my sponsors, like, I said to them, I'd hit, this is a little technique, I'd hit them up for sponsorship, they'd be like, yeah, okay, we'll give you this, and then I'd sort of say to them, okay, if I win, can I get double, but if I get second, I get nothing, and I did that every year I won the gold, so, like, whatever they said to me, so yeah. If I got second, I would have got nothing off any of my sponsors, so every time, but they always said yes, like, if you said that, they were like, okay, yeah, I'll give you 10 grand or whatever, and I'd say, okay, if I win, can I get double, but if I get second, I get nothing, and they'd always say yeah. So yeah, like that, and then obviously,
mate, lucky you're not like Steve and get sick before every race. That would have been a bit stressful going from.
I actually ditched race bonuses eventually.
But I don't know. Also, like, I loved the race so much, and like, I, like, in my head, like, if I got second, I thought I didn't deserve anything, kind of thing. Like, I was so, like, crazy about it. Like, rather than just, like, earning a living, like, I thought I didn't deserve anything if I got second. Like, so, yeah. Like, in my head, I wouldn't want anything. So, anyway, so, but then, like, obviously, the surf clubs just do so well here. So, surf, it's like a footy club, basically, like, now. Like, you kind of get paid to go into surf clubs, because, like, you're doing Aussies and you're doing all these team events and everything. Like, you do, it is good for the surf club. And then, yeah, it's kind of like a split up. And then, but there's not stacks of money in it. Like, back when I sort of started, it was pretty good. And then it's, like, slow. I think it's, like, maybe picked up again. But you're just, like, being an athlete's, like, a grind. Like, it is. It's not, like, yeah. It's not, you're not giving it. That's why even now, it's funny, like, because I remember getting sponsors, like, obviously, like, the week of, you do the, you know, the press thing, whatever it is, like, the Thursday before the race, like, down at, you know, Surface or Coolangatta or wherever they wanted to do it. And then you'd always get, like, a sponsor like that week, like, a few days before it. That would be like, oh, you know, love to sponsor you or whatever. So I remember I'd be, like, going to, like, the print store to try and get their thing, like, the day before the gold. I'd be going, picking it up, like, to get their thing on there. Like, it's like a grind. And yeah, now, like, we're doing, like, Dr. Hydrate stuff and we're sponsoring some athletes and stuff. And I can just see them when they be lazy with that sort of stuff and, like, expect everything to be, like, sort of given to them. Like, mate, you got to go and do it yourself. Like, if you're going to buddy some overseas to do some race and you don't have, just ask for the logo and go and get it printed yourself and everything. Like, yeah, not everything's, yeah, like, it is, like, it's a grind, like, doing it properly.
Yeah. Did you ever get tempted to join the triathlon nerds? Because I know you did. You did dabble a little bit, and then, like, obviously, like, I'd like to hear whether you're put off by the fact that maybe there's a bit more hours involved in triathlon, or is there? Is there, like, because I know we had to sacrifice, you know, like, boozing and mates and stuff, like, most of the year, or because you've got, like, do you have, like, a part of the year where you race and you don't, so you get to actually enjoy life at times with your sport?
Yeah, like, you'd get a little bit, but we wouldn't get much because the Coolangatta Gold's in October, And we'd do Aussies, like it was always like pretty much the last week of April, first week of May. So like when you got that, like you don't, and you then you got to get ready for the Cooling Gutter Gold back in October. You don't get much of an off season if you're on the Cooling Gutter Gold and you want to do it properly. When you're racing all the way up to kind of May, you'd get maybe like 4 weeks or something. But yeah, no, because I remember the first year I won the Cooling Gutter Gold, I think it was like Triathlon Australia or something, like approached me to do like the AIS thing. And then I was like, yeah, sweet, because I always loved triathlon and like swimming at Miami Pool, like I knew heaps of triathletes. So I went to the AIS. I didn't really enjoy the AIS. I hated it there. I was like there for like 2 weeks or something. I was like, I hated it.
Yeah, it's a prison.
It was real weird. Like they were like, I remember we'd go to the food court thing and just everyone spoke about food, like spoke about what they were eating and like they're all like real negative. Oh, I can't believe I ate that. And it's kind of just annoying. I'd still eat it, but then they'll be, oh, I can't believe I ate that.
or something. Did your room look like a prison cell there?
Yeah. I can't remember that well. I think it was all bridges, bricks and stuff. It was just, I don't know. The rides were nice. Like we did nice rides, but it was just boring, really. But like that was good, but it was just, so and then that was the first time I went into the like little triathlon sort of thing. And then I got into like Ironman. And then I thought, because actually I was better cyclist. Because I remember at the AAS, you did like the little cycling test on there. Like silver erg bike or whatever it was, and like my cycling was pretty good. Like they gave you the results and stuff. My cycling was heaps better than my running, and I always liked Ironman triathlon sort of more than the Olympic stuff. And I think I was just better at longer stuff anyway, so I wanted to do Ironman. And then I got a pretty bad injury in my heel. Like I got like a bone tumor in my heel, and then had to have surgery and stuff, and that put me out for ages. And then it was just like from there, it was so easy to go back. I remember I was paddling the ski like in my cast, like with my cast on, back on the ski in the canal, like paddling with my heel, just because I couldn't run for so long. Because it was just like I was a swimmer basically. Then I was a swimmer trying to run like heaps, because like at the start of the Cooling Gutter Golds, no one knew how to really train for the Cooling Gutter Gold. So you're running like 40K a week. Like that was it to start with. And we obviously got more and more the more years it went, but then jumping into Ironman triathlon, and I was just so addicted to it. I just like was doing so much running, so much cycling and stuff. And like my body, it was good for my body, because I think it like strung me out heaps. Like even now I'm heaps leaner than what I used to be. I used to have like a bit of a swimmer's body, whereas now like I just like, I don't know.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Because I think that little triathlon thing I like, yeah, I just got real skinny as well. So I like half had anemia, I think. So like like legit, like my iron was like less than 5 and everything. So
yeah,
like
yeah.
Doctors and stuff. And
that's very normal.
like anemia, yeah. Just because I don't really eat when I train either. And you're just like, because when I hurt my ankle, I was like, I was just doing like an hour, 150 to 180K or whatever. But I was doing that every day pretty much, like because I couldn't run. And then like not really eating much, I just got like super skinny. Like I was like 66 kilos. That was bad skinny. And then it changed my body shape kind of thing, because I remember I went back into doing the Cooling Gutter Gold like after that, and like my mate Jeremy Cotter, when I was pounding the ski, he was like, oh, you look heaps fitter, like you're like real wiry now. Like I think it like legitimately just like genetically changed me. Whereas like earlier in my year I was just like a swimmer, so like you just got that like pudgy little like shape to you, whereas like you don't really look like a runner. Yeah.
When you went back after you'd changed your body shape, were you noticeably slower in the swim?
Nah. I was still good in the swim. Yeah, I was heaps better. Like it was really good for my running, because then obviously I went back into the Cooling Gutter Gold, and I like I knew, like, because I was running with like Craig Walton and his like group, and we used to run from like the around the spit and stuff. So you're running with like runners, and then like you'd go back to run against, you know, Ironman guys, and I was like a really good runner kind of thing like then. So it was like really good for me. And then I was like, you were saying, that training week, because I hated telling people, like, because I knew what runners, like what those triathlon guys were doing, like I hated, because like clubby Ironman, like we're good in the one thing, surf Ironman guys, like we're good in the pool, like when like me, Shannon, Zane, Kai, like when we were at, like Dean Mercer, when we were at, like Phil Clayton, when we were racing each other, like we'd go hard in the pool. Like that was one difference between like the triathlon, because obviously like Emma Snow, so all those people like trained at the thing, triathletes didn't really, because they're doing like so hard runs and big bikes and stuff, they didn't really train as hard as us in the pool, because like the pool was like our like hard thing kind of thing, whereas like everything was your hard thing.
Yeah.
But kinda. But yeah, so we used to like flog ourselves in the pool, but then like outside of that, like board training wasn't really, like it was hard, but it wasn't really that hard. It was kind of fun. Like ski was just like solid or whatever, but like, and then they just know, they were just soft runners kind of thing. Like their running was just so different to doing those other things that they couldn't really do it, whereas I knew sort of how to do it. So I went back in there, and on a Friday morning, I used to do 25 400s at the track, like after swimming, or like, you know, it was another one that Craig Walton or whatever used to do. It was like 16 400s, descend 1-4 one way with 200 float, and, you know, descend 1-4 the other way with 200 float, like that sort of stuff. So I used to do those 400s every week, and then like this other little interval session every week. And I never told anyone the running I was doing, because they would think 10 400s like was a good session at the track, whereas I said 25 like every week. And I never told
them. Are they scared of injuries? Like, is it very common to get injured on the run in your sport, and people avoided too much?
Nah, it was just you just do so much like outside of it, really. Like if you're swimming Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday mornings, you're doing Ironman Wednesday morning, and then you're doing 3 or 4 gym sessions at, you know, middays or whatever, and then you're training 3 skis in the afternoon and 2 boards in the other, 2 afternoons and Saturday morning. Like it's hard to fit in running like in there, and just everyone was just so used to doing that. So when you did, you kind of like put like your little runs in between it. Whereas like in the calling out of God, run's so important. Like run really has to be one of the things, like swimming kind of thing that you need.
You just weren't telling anyone because you just thought, this is my big advantage here.
Yeah, and I just knew they weren't doing it.
Yeah, cool.
And then I could, see it really. And I remember one year I did the Coolangatta to Gold, and I was running, it was like on the clip, I think it's not still on YouTube or whatever, and I was running from Burley like towards surface, and I just started the run, then Guy Leach, so I must have told him or something, and he was on the commentator, he was like, oh, did you know KNX now, he runs 25 400s at the track every Friday morning or whatever. I remember watching that, I was like, fuck, I'm never telling.
Damn it. Kane, we can delete this out if you want, but I was really fascinated talking to you one evening when you're talking about like your almost like OCD traits, and I think a lot of athletes have that, those OCD patterns or the compulsive behaviors, which makes us so good at training. You know, like I certainly did, like I was explaining to my wife, you know, that I think my sister, I can't remember what the comment was, but I went like overnight, I was like 8 years old and I started doing like 80 sit-ups every night before bed. Like, and I did a year, you know, and I couldn't go to sleep unless I'd ticked off that box. And I watched my other son, one of my sons who's so similar, but he has this full routine of everything he has to do. Like he has to do his German practice, then he does maths, then he has to run 40K a week. And he's like, he's 9 years old, you know, like, and it's just, and you know, even now, like you can talk more about this, but like you have to hit a certain number of running per week. And how, was there a point where, talk about whether it got too much and how you controlled it. And just super interested because I know a lot of athletes have those traits.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it was like, just so I did so much stuff on my own as well, kind of thing. I don't know. So I was just always like thinking in my head. And then, it was definitely like, I don't know, like I'm definitely like a neat freak as well. Like I like to be organized. Like even before the Coolangatta goal, this is when I lived at home. Like when I beat my brother in the first one, like dad sort of took Shannon and my mum took me. So then like every Saturday, my mum used to drive, like obviously she'd drop me off at Surfers or whatever, and then she'd go and pick me up at Coolangatta, and then she'd drop me here, drop me there, and I'd have a Friday night, I'd have a piece of paper, and I'd write out like the coasts of the Gold Coast, and then I'd have different color markers for each leg I'd do, and then I'd have like each marker would be like the color of like what she has to give me and whatever, and then I'd go and give it to her every Friday night, and that was like for the next morning that we'd be up at this time or whatever and doing it all. So definitely like they're just like, I don't know, organized things kind of thing. Yep. But I also have like the full, yeah, I've gotten better at it, like the, because I know it's like weird, like the OCD, like, I don't know, I just have these different things. I just think bad things were going to happen if I didn't do whatever it was. But I remember like my ex-girlfriend used to say, like, it was really good for me for sport, because obviously I was doing 1500 pull-ups. Like if I knew I was doing 1500 pull-ups on a Thursday and we went to lunch and I ended up having like beers at lunch or whatever, like she knew like I'd, it didn't matter what had happened, I did the 1500 pull-ups. Like I couldn't not do it. Like it was just the thing. Like every single time I had to do like what I set out to do. Yeah. So I suppose, I don't know, it's like a discipline as well. But yeah, I've definitely still got, like I was telling you, like running and stuff. Like, I don't know, I've just got weird things. Like I step on like the fire hydrant, like plates and stuff. Like I've just got weird things that I do. Like, yeah, I try not to do them anymore because I know they're weird. But like,
yeah. Did you guys just compare stories? Because Reedy has a lot of this as well.
Yeah.
I used to like always swap my wrist. Sorry, swap the watch from one wrist to the other halfway through every run. Yeah. And then there's things, it was funny watching my son, like he had to touch the, one day he'll listen to this and be like, Dad, he would go through the security at airports and you know how they do the scanner things. He always had to touch it on the way through. Yeah, and so we would go through like 40 times and have to go back through because he'd set off the alarm. He couldn't not touch it. And then one time he was like five and the security person was like, no, you can't do that. And he fully went up and punched it.
Yeah.
Because he had to do it.
Yeah. But yeah, I've definitely like, and I find I'm just so good at doing it now. Like even like I don't really run on the like painted lines and stuff. Like I still do it. Like I just naturally do it without even thinking. Like I won't step on the white lines of the road. I'll just like step around it kind of thing. Yeah. Like it's quite weird. But yeah.
If you haven't hit what you planned that week, do you have a lot of guilt? I have a fairly overwhelming amount of guilt over like not ticking off the bare minimum in training that I planned. I'm much better these days, but like, do you really struggle if like you get sickness and you're like, well, I know the smart thing to do is just to have a day off. But I, you know, Reedy can attest to this. I struggle, you know, I could tell people that no, you have to have the day off. It's the smart thing to do. Your consistency will be better if you don't get sick for a week. You just have one sick day and then get back into it. And I just could never stop. I'm like, no, I'll just run at 100 beats per minute for the hour instead of 130.
Yeah. Oh, it's hard to do it yourself. I was even like last Saturday, because I've been pretty good. Like I've cut out alcohol, cut out everything, but like the same sort of timeline as that, I've trained every day. So for this Hyrox thing, like I haven't missed a day in over 100 days. So it's been like, you know, whatever, 4 months or something. Like I trained every single day. And it was last Saturday, like I knew I was getting like a build up of it. And I woke up Saturday morning and I was like, fuck, I just feel. And sometimes like what I've learned, like if you don't want to go to training, you usually is like a time that for me, it's a time that you probably should have a day off kind of thing. Like if you really don't want to do it, like really don't want to do it, then you probably should have, you know, the day off. But yeah, that Saturday that last week, that was the first day that I had off. But it was the same thing. I went and got a coffee and there's this like the coffee girl and she was like, oh, what are you up to today? And I was like, I'm pretty tired. I meant to go training, but I don't know. I think I should have a day off. She was like, oh, I'm telling you, have a day. And the coffee girl was saying, you should have a day off. You know, like recovery is really good for you and everything. Yeah, there was a real estate agent there that I like, Paul, who I see every now and again. And he was there and his son plays AFL and I was talking to him and he was like, mate, have a day off. I'm telling you, have a day off. And I was like, all right, I'll have a day off. I ended up having a day off. And I went like native state and had like a recovery thing, had a nice bath and everything. But it was so good. The one thing, like, because I've gotten older as well, like with this, like it's a little bit different maybe with endurance kind of thing, because like, you know, but with this Hyrox thing for me, like I know it's fast. So like, if you're just going every single day and you're like going through sometimes those days, like, you might be able to do it really well, but like, you're going to get smoked by the other guys because you need to be fast. So sometimes those days off helps your body recover, and then you can still be fast. Otherwise, you're just teaching yourself to go slow. If you just every single day, you're just grinding, like, you don't really hit that sort of top speed. So just like, I'm definitely better at it now than what I used to be, because I know, because inside, like, so many times too, when you get sick, like a week before a race or whatever, you end up having the best race of your life just because, like, that gave you time off. And like, you probably wouldn't have had that time off, but you had a week off and then, you know, train for a few days and you go and fly, like, when you're racing, just because your body needed it.
Well, Steve did that when he won Ironman Australia. He was pretty crook, a few days easy, and booyah, he was on fire.
It's the same thing. I remember I was watching that Cameron Haynes, and he was talking, so he's like a David Goggins-y sort of kind of guy. But he was saying, oh, you know, days off for pussies and whatever. And I was like, fucking, that shit annoys me. So I'm like,
and training on Christmas, come on.
Yeah, but that's the classic Dave Goggins, Cam Haynes, who got, they're like mediocre. They're above average athletes at best, you know, and they're throwing out like training advice, and you're like, come on, you're struggling to break three in a marathon. So
yeah, it's a lot different. Like, people, you need peaks and stuff. Otherwise you're just going to plateau at the same sort of thing, especially when it gets to that top sort of level. Yeah.
So is that Coffee Girl now your coach full time?
Nah, it was more so the real estate fella who sort of convinced me. He was like, Kane, I think he gave me permission. He goes, I'm giving you permission to have a day off. And I was like, all right. I probably wouldn't have had one if he didn't tell me. But it was like I fully, it was just dead. Like, yes, I don't know. It's good because I'm not like one of those people that will just give myself a day off. But the one thing I've sort of learned, if you really don't want to go, like, you're like, fuck. Like, you start like hating it a little bit. Like, you're just like, it's such a chore, then you probably need a day off. Otherwise, I kind of enjoy training. But
For the hyper motivated, absolutely. If other people follow that rule, they'd never go.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's different.
So with the HYROX, you've qualified for Worlds. Is that at a pro level? What's the goal there? Like, what's your HYROX goals?
Well, this one, because the first one that I raced was Brisbane. And it was a ground just for fun, but I did mixed doubles with like a girl from the Sunshine Coast. And we went pretty well. I didn't have the best, I did it in March. I sort of started training in pretty much the start of January for it. But I had a pretty bad run. I sort of tore my shoulder and I rolled my ankle and tore my ligaments and ankle. So I didn't really run much before it, but we went really well. So then, but since then, I've been sweet and I've put on 3 months of just really, really good training. So we qualified for Worlds from Brisbane as a mixed double team. And then, you're racing the best people in the world. Like, I looked, because they kind of split it up in a few heats. And in our heat, we've got Alexander Runkovic, who's the world champion for male solo. And then he's got the world record with his partner, Austrian girl. And we're racing them in our heat. So we're racing the best. So it's going to be good. Like, we're going really well. So
that's good. I guess
and I'm doing High Rock Sydney 3 weeks later. So that'll be
as an individual or
an individual. Yeah.
Oh, cool. That'd be good.
Yeah.
With the chin ups, can you just break it down? Like, so let's say the world records that you had, how many chin ups are you doing per minute for the 24-hour record that you had?
Yeah. Well,
That out before the show, but that would take.
I broke the 1 hour and the 8 hour record. That was the last two I broke at the end of COVID. So pretty much through COVID, I went for the 1 hour and the 8 hour record. And then the 1 hour, I like the 1 hour because it's like, and that's what sort of got me with this HYROX thing. Like, HYROX is kind of 1 hour and I've got the 1 hour pull-up record. So I'm like, I can go all right for 1 hour. It's just, I've got to use my legs a little bit more than my upper body. But I did 1,134 in an hour. So it's about 19 a minute, I think. And then...
So is that, so that's 19 straight, and how long, and then you'd have a break? Or would you do
I'd do it every minute. So you're pretty much doing 30 seconds of pull-ups, 30 seconds of break kind of thing. Because 19 takes about, some people are real fast and sort of cheaty kind of thing with their pull-ups, whereas I was I've always been, my technique's pretty good. So I was always pretty slow with my pull-ups. Yep. I really do fast ones just because I that was just what I did because I was 24 going into an hour. But it took me to do about 19, it takes about 30 seconds or so. And then it was just having like, just getting your heart rate down. That's why it's just repetition to sort of like, because you've got red, like the hour record, you're basically just redlining it the whole sort of time. So like what you are 5 minutes in, you have the same feeling 25 minutes in, 45 minutes in, 55 minutes in. You feel like you're like right on the border of like you're gone kind of thing. Whereas I just, like I did the record 7 times before I did it like officially. So I just knew, like, I knew I could do it, and I knew I could stay at that level kind of thing. Like, whereas, like, yeah, like, if you looked at the clock, it was 7 minutes in, you got 53 minutes to go, you'd think, fuck, there's no way I can do it. But, like, I just knew I could stay on that, like, red line the whole time kind of thing.
Have you ever had an injury with it, like a torn muscle? Because I reckon, Reedy, your bicep looks pretty red from your efforts this morning already.
That wasn't the chin-up. Yeah.
What was it?
No, I definitely tore. I tore, and when I did the world record in New York, because I hadn't done that many pull-ups, I tore my bicep. Like I knew when I did it, like 5 hours in, and then so I kept on going for 12 hours. But that was pretty bad. Like, so I knew. It was the same, like, I don't know, when you break a bone or you tear a thing, like, you just have that, like, internally, like, sick feeling. And I like a different feel. Like, when you know you broke something or, like, you tore something, you get, like, sick kind of thing. Mm. And, like, that's what happened in New York when I did that. So I tore my bicep in New York, and then I tore not that long ago in, like, November last year, I tore my labrum and, like, took the cartilage off my bone, off my shoulder from doing it. And then, yeah. So I've had a few injuries. It's like, it's pretty hard on your body, the pull-ups.
Mm. And with the running now, so I remember chatting to you about it, but you said like part of it is you have to really lean up your lower body, and you were doing that just through heaps of running. That was right. Am I remembering that correctly? And you were sort of up around 100K a week, just getting the legs into like Kenyan legs.
Yeah, because it was just to lose weight, Yeah, I don't know. Like, I probably could have talked to more people about it. Like, so I just do everything by myself. Like, I don't talk to anyone.
Just a coffee lady.
My trainer every morning. Because I was doing, like, 2,000. Like, I was doing, like, instead of 1,500, I'd do, like, 2,000 pull-ups every day. And I was just getting too big. Like, I was putting on a bit too much weight. And then, like, my knuckles were like twice the size, and I couldn't straighten my fingers. Like, I like legit couldn't straighten my fingers. And everyone was saying, fuck, you're looking like big, you're looking like solid and whatever. So I just put on too much weight, and I was like, fuck, I'd committed to doing the record. So I was like shitting myself. And then I was like, I need to change something. So I started running like 100K a week. So every second day I'd run like 33K to get to like 100. So I'd do, so my training week was like 2,000 pull-ups on Monday, Tuesday run 33K, 500 pull-ups, 2,000 pull-ups on Wednesday, Thursday run 33K, 500 pull-ups, 2,000 pull-ups on Friday, 33K run Saturday, 500 pull-ups, and 1,000 pull-ups on Sunday. And I just did that week after week after week after week. And then I just wouldn't eat till like 2 p.m. every day to like lose weight, basically. And that's how I sort of created Dr. Hydrate. I was just, because I knew I had to eat, like have something in my body. So I was just like getting like electrolytes, L-glutamine, L-carnitine, like selenium and probiotics, and putting it all in a big drink bottle and then just drinking that. And then after I did the records, we sort of like, I was talking about the drink I was making, and then we ended up making it taste nice. And that's sort of how Dr. Ido got started.
What a segue. That was where we were going to go.
How good. We were going to get to that now. Can I ask, so Nerd Belt's probably like, in a way, ruined my career in Ironman. Like, it's been a good thing to happen. But it's like makes it real hard to get a training block in and find the time to do the training. And there's definitely just no recovery anymore. For me, I was reliant on the last 10 years of training. And Reedy knows when it came along, the training blocks didn't look good. He'd be like, you've done the worst race prep for a pro in this one. And the volume wasn't there, and lots of the sessions were like pretty average. And anyway, how's it been trying to balance the two, and like tell us about Dr. Hydrate too. What do you offer? Like, what are the products
just,
as well?
Just to interrupt Steve real quick, Kane hasn't met any of the kids he's got yet, so he's got a bit more free time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely like at the start when we first, I was running a fair bit. So I did a couple, I did like the Gold Coast Marathon and I think I did that GC50. So I was just basically running, and running's an easy thing to, running's probably the best thing to do outside of working, because you can do like a lot in short amount of times kind of thing. But then when we sort of launched Dr. Hydrate, like I was like the guy, like, and I'm not a computer guy or anything, but I was like doing customer service. I was like dealing. We didn't really do any wholesale to start with. We just kept it basically online, but it's just doing like little things like sample packs. Like I was just like staying up till like 1 a.m. legit, like packing like thousands of sample packs to send to all these different things. Like, and then even just then like customer service started picking up and everything. So I wasn't, that's like, it was like, the, it was good that I realized it. So I did probably 8 months of like no training. Like I went from doing a fair bit of running just to nothing. And I wasn't doing anything. And like the crazy thing is when I was like racing and stuff like back in the day, I still wish, I was like, fuck, I can't wait till, like it seemed like that was the dream. Like get up in the morning and go get a croissant if you want it. And like, you know, just sleep it. Like I had no time to get up. Like I could sleep in till, you know, you wake up at 4:50 every morning, go swimming. Now I could just sleep in, get a coffee, get a croissant, do whatever. And it was good for a little bit, but then like I was like semi-depressed, like kind of thing with it. Like, so I got real skinny and just like, I don't know. And I've sort of realized that now, because I'm doing this Hyrox thing, I think I'm just like addicted to, like, because now I'm so, like, I'm a different person to what I was then. I think even like my business partners could sort of see it, because when we first launched, I was training, doing the running thing, and they would just say like, you're so like bubbly, like you walk into a room and you just had like this like thing going on, whereas like that slowly just went away when you're just not training, because like, I don't know, just I was just so used to it. It was good for a couple of months, but when you did it for so long, and then it was so, then obviously we picked up, Dr. Hydrate got bigger, now we've got like a team in Brisbane, I've got people doing that sort of stuff, so then I could go off and do this Hyrox thing. And it's just like, yeah, it's a, like, I think, and what I said to a mate like a couple of weeks ago, I was like, for sure, like I'm addicted to pain, like I think, like just like physical pain, like I just need it. Because I remember like just coming back from the gym, like just kill myself in the gym. Obviously you're doing Hyrox, so you're doing running, gym stuff, like it's really good, but just flog myself for like 2.5 hours, and just driving back in the car just like so happy. And I was in the car, I was like, fuck, like I'm like fully addicted to, like it's 100% just the pain of it. Like I'm addicted to feeling of just being like spent, like like you need it. If you don't do that for day after day after day after day, week after week after month or whatever, it's like semi-depressing. Like,
oh, but mate, it's super depressing. Yeah. I think it's and it's just, we've conditioned our brains for that, just to get that chemical release. And like it can be the busiest day ever now, and I'm just like, even if I get out for 40 minutes, I just force myself out and I come back and I'm like, suddenly I can get through the day again. You know, like you're excited.
I also feel like I could get like 10 things done on my list with like all the other stuff, like work related. But you don't feel accomplished at all that day unless you did the run, unless you did the exercise. Like I'm still in the mindset that I was when I was a runner as a kid. Like it didn't, if I'd run well that day and I was fit and I go, I'm in good shape, then nothing, you know, that's still all that matters. And like I've been doing just a bit of running for most of this year. And yeah, I can slowly feel myself wanting to hurt again, because it was just a long period of too many Ironmans back to back. And I didn't want to hurt anymore. And then, but it's in us, because it comes back. You starve yourself of something, and very quickly you find out that you're just not yourself anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've accepted it. I've just been like, I'm just not that person that like is like the guy on the computer that's like the business guy, and just like just get so like thrilled out of that. Like it's obviously awesome to like have it and it's like good, but like the same thing, like I get for me, like my deep, like feeling like, and like I was talking about the other week too, like I love, that's why I like doing the Hyrox in Brisbane. I love pressure, like those pressure, like I need that as well, like those pressure, even if that one, like in my head I sort of morphed like our look, because we went well, me and this chick in mixed doubles, but in my head it was just good to do a race. So it, like I was kind of like trying to get the same feeling as I used to race, and it was just so good to do that again, whereas I hadn't done that since before COVID. Like really, I did like the pull-up records and stuff, but it wasn't really racing like anyone else. It's just so good to race someone else, and that's why, you know, we're gonna Chicago on the weekend to race at world titles. Like in another way, it's just gonna be so good. Like I just love the pressure. Like you get addicted to that pressure sort of scenario when everything just goes on that, and you're just like, I don't know. Like when you're young and like you get nervous and stuff, you think you hate it a little bit, but then like when you get older, it's like the best feeling ever, when especially when you train really well, you're like, you're confident in your training, and then you just have that one moment that you have to like put it all on the line, you're racing the other guys, and like you got all that pressure on you again. Like, yeah, it's like being addicted to like the pain of training and like the pressure of racing, and I don't think it ever goes away. You just, that's just who you are, kind of thing. I'm not the person that gets super stoked over emails and stuff. Like I get, you know, I'm a racer. And yeah, it was, that's what I mean. It was good, because it was good to realize, because when I was like doing the gold stuff, and obviously swimming sucks, I hated swimming, so you're always just wishing, I can't wait till I retire, I don't have to get up and go to the pool again. But it was good to like turn, you know, like, you know, I don't even want to surf, I'll just get a longboard, because I'm, that's, you know, I'm just gonna be retired. But but it's good to like realize like that's not like that's not it, like kind of thing. Like I reckon I'll do probably like challenge Roth when I'm like 60, like you know, like it was like I fully realized that, whereas like 5 years ago I'd for sure thought, oh, like, you know, the dream was just doing nothing, whereas now I was like, nah, like that's not it.
I was exactly the same. I thought, how good will it be when I can just like have guilt-free beers every day, and the guilt's still there. but I did like, you know, the same thing, 6 months of almost nothing. And then I just have to find events too, because I thought I was an exercise addict, and I now realize that I really need to just work towards an event, even if it's not really non-consequential. It's just fun for me to actually have a purpose with the training. So yeah, 100% agree. And can you talk a bit about, you know, you mentioned briefly the ingredients of Dr. Hydrate. For anyone that does want to buy it, don't go direct to Kane's website. Go to rpgcoaching.com. I've still got a few boxes left. It's been moving pretty well because people start taking it, right? And I say to them, look, if you don't take a multivite each day, this will tick most of the box with that. Not only getting a good kickstart with your hydration, but it kicks off, like, it's got a good source of magnesium. You know, you've got, I might be getting this wrong because I'm doing it off memory, but the calcium, like the forms of minerals in there are actually quite easily absorbed by the body. You know, often you'll see ingredients in drinks and I look at the, you know, the bioavailability of that mineral and I'm like, well, this sucks. Like, whereas this stuff's actually, every ingredient there is well thought out and a really good quality addition to the drink.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had, so where we get it made out just outside of Brisbane, but it's at Custom Food. So they like, the food tech like scientists there are like so good. That's where they make Man Shake and stuff. So it's like a pretty elaborate sort of like thing they got going. But it was very similar to, it was basically exactly what I put in my drink. And like, that's one thing. Like, I don't really know anything like scientifically, but like I do, I've got a pretty good head of what like you kind of need. So I was putting like L-carnitine, because like my thing was when I was doing the pull-ups, like you're looking at a clock. So for, especially for the minute, like if you're doing 15 pull-ups every minute, you're watching the clock. And if like, you don't watch the ticking of the hands, time goes heaps quicker. Like if I was just doing my 15 pull-ups, then I was chatting to you, like I'd look at the clock, fuck it, like a minute's up again. Whereas if I watch the hands tick, time goes so much slower. So you have to, so for 3 hours a day, I was watching the ticking, cause it just makes it slower. So in my head, I was like, okay, I need like something with like brain function. So I looked at L-carnitine's good for brain function. So I was like, okay, but it's also good for turning fat cells into energy. So I was putting like L-carnitine in there and like different sort of things. But yeah, it's got like L-carnitine, which is both of those things. L-glutamine, which is good for like muscle recovery, digestion. But then it's got
energy metabolism.
A whole like, we've got like sea, dried out seaweed from like the North Atlantic seabed, which is like another form of magnesium and calcium, which like no one else has. And then like probiotics, selenium, zinc, all the electrolytes, like a good amount of, like most, you know, other drinks just have like sodium, potassium. But whereas obviously we've got like magnesium and calcium and stuff. Yeah, so it's basically like an all-in-one hydration drink without sugar.
Like athletes, you know, typically you got slightly lower white blood cells, your immune system's always compromised from the hard training. We know that zinc and other minerals like can help that immune system be just that little bit more resilient. So like I'm such a big fan of it. Like my fitness has improved out of sight the last 6 weeks, and it's all Dr. Hydrate, nothing to do with the fact I doubled my training.
Yeah, and it just makes you it's just like a nice, like, it just actually legitimately makes you drink more water. I'll have three, like, we sort of recommend if you train, like, you know, three a day, and I'll have three every single day now that I'm training like hard. But like it, like, I don't really go back and drink normal water now, just I'm so used to having that, so it just makes drinking. And obviously if you're racing, like, you can have gels and like different sort of stuff just because it doesn't have like the carbs in it. But just for training and just everyday use of just like, you know, keeping hydrated throughout the day, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's why, because I first initially started, the conversation I had about the pull-up thing was with Mark Webber, the F1 driver. And like his whole thing was like, so he got involved to start with. He was like, and I know he's not going to do something unless it's going to be good. And his whole thing was, it's going to be the best drink in the world and it's going to taste the best. And then we sort of ticked those two boxes and then we made it, yeah. But it's funny, mm-hmm. like a lot of companies have copied us and like come in on the scene. It's pretty big now, the hydration sort of scene, especially in Australia, yeah.
We were going to come out with a Dr. Nerd and just completely copy it, hey, Steve.
Yeah, I've seen heaps of athletes running with the nerd belts now, though. It's
had a brand do the same thing to us. They're like, just made the exact same belt and put something else on it with a light white logo. And we're
not
like,
as good quality, though, Steve.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, they know they're copied, and like, you can't take away the original kind of thing as well. Like, no. They can all copy, but
they're also five steps behind. They've like copied the original version. We're just like, yeah, we're always thinking like you are, what's next, and all these new belts are coming out soon, and it'll be hard to keep up, especially if it's you know, people that don't actually know anything about running. That's the biggest issue. And then if you just have to copy our marketing, we'll just keep changing it. And it's interesting stuff.
Shoot us your address after this, Kane. We'll shoot you up a belt to test out.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yep.
And thanks so much for coming on. I think it's really nice to branch out of triathlons, you know, a little bit more left field of triathlon anyway, and just hear about your life so far, the journey through so many different, athletic pursuits. You're obviously one of a kind, and really keen to see how you go with the next part of your life with all the other different challenges. So thanks heaps.
Oh, should be good. No worries. Are you doing the Ox? Are you running the Ox this year?
I'm going to go down and support and probably do a bit of a team thing, but box is ticked, so I don't need to do another run through the night stopping it every 4K.
I wasn't going to do it either, but too easy. No worries.
Sweet, mate. All right, no stress. Catch you later.
All right, then. Cheers. See you, boys.